From robot-assisted surgery to computers that detect skin cancer, artificial intelligence, or AI, is absolutely sparking a revolution in healthcare. And now a team of Australian and international researchers has found that AI can predict how likely someone is to recover from serious mental illnesses like depression and psychosis. The researchers relied on brain imaging as well as data collected from a patient's clinical visits to forecast how that individual will interact socially in the future. This paper is released today in the journal JAMA Psychiatry. Professor Stephen Wood is the head of clinical translational neuroscience at Orygen, the National Centre of Excellence in Youth Mental Health. He led the Australian research team on this. Stephen Wood, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Stephen, can you explain how this works, how artificial intelligence is able to predict with more certainty, if you like, how likely someone with a mental illness is to get better in, say, years' time?
Right. So essentially what we're doing is we are trying to find the pattern of a person's data that's associated with their outcome later, and that we can use to predict that outcome in new individuals. And it uses fairly complex mathematical algorithms to try to do that pattern separation. And so it's the sort of thing that in some cases humans can do very well and they don't even realize that they're doing it. But in other cases, we aren't actually able to pick up the right pattern. And in fact, what we've done in this paper is we've shown that our machine learning approach outperforms expert clinicians in this prediction.
So when you say expert clinicians can do it sometimes without even knowing they're doing it, that's an intuition, I suppose, born from experience.
That's right. And in fact, in what we did in our study, we showed that our experts, if they said somebody was going to have a poor outcome, they were usually right, but they missed a lot of people who did go on to have poor outcomes.
So what are we talking about here when we say poor outcomes, poor social outcomes? Because in your study, AI is used to predict the social outcomes. What does that mean?
That means that we're interested in whether a person has good social relationships when in a year's time. Are they having good friendships? Do they engage in social activities outside the home? Do they have romantic relationships? These are the sorts of things that, in fact, our young people, when we see them, are really keen to know whether this will be a good outcome for them.
And they're keen to know that because at the moment they're in the midst of suffering from psychosis or something like that?
Right. Well, so in this particular paper, we were studying young people who present at risk for psychosis. So they're really not well now, but they don't have a psychotic illness. They're just really at risk for getting one in the future.
Can I just stop you there for a second, Stephen? When you say they're not well now, but they're at risk of psychosis, what does not well mean? They're depressed, they're anxious, they're...
Well, usually, yes, they do have a depression and or an anxiety problem. But what makes them specifically at risk for psychosis is that they've started to experience sort of subtle symptoms that look like they might become psychotic. So maybe they've started to think their friends are talking about them behind their back, or they were walking home from school one day or from work, or they were on the train and they heard somebody call their voice out, but there was nobody around that knew them. Although they're not really sure that these things are really happening, they're very worried about them. So these are the sorts of things that make you concerned that a person might go on to develop a psychotic illness. And we know that, you know, maybe 20 to 30% of them will develop a psychotic illness within 2 years. So they are at high risk.
Right. So what is the import of trying to predict social outcomes? Why is that important?
The main reason why that's important is because the majority of these young people do have poor social outcomes into the future, and we want to be able to predict them better. So,
because prediction means we can try and head that off?
The idea is that we could direct our interventions more precisely to the people who really needed them, so that if we thought you were likely to have a poor social outcome in terms of your functioning, we might direct social interaction therapies to you in a way that we wouldn't to a person who looked like having a good outcome.
Right. So is this in terms of getting more out of the current resources, the available resources? Is that an economic imperative as much as it is a social one, that early intervention can head off poor outcomes?
You're absolutely right. So obviously, there's always a health economics element to this, that, you know, there's a limited resource, so we want to direct it as well as we possibly can. On the flip side of this, I suppose, there's also the reassurance that we can give to young people who we are predicting will have good social functioning outcomes. Mm-hmm. You know, we can say, actually, you know, if we can keep you engaged with our treatment as usual, then there's a very high likelihood that you'll have a good outcome. So, you know, it's both wanting to be directing our interventions where they're most needed, but also to be able to provide that reassurance to people for whom an outcome is likely to be good.
And just reassuring some of those listening who might be personally interested in this, are there treatments that can help deliver a better social outcome?
There are.
Are they drug treatments? Are they therapy treatments?
They're mostly therapy treatments. I don't know of a drug treatment that's available at the moment. And these are things that being used in various locations around the world, and they differ depending on the particular interest of the clinical team that is around. But there are treatments that can help.
Okay, and AI is the key to this. The capabilities of AI in health and medical diagnosis are growing pretty steadily, if not rapidly, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I mean, I would caution that it's very easy to be fooled by AI, in as much as you know, you can do this stuff and it tells you these wonderful predictive patterns, mm-hmm. but it's very easy to fool yourself. And what we are doing now is going back and collecting a new sample to check that this pattern really does predict the future for these kinds of presentations for these young people.
So what do you mean fool yourself, Stephen?
If you have enough data, like if you have lots and lots of data and you have this kind of machine, this kind of AI approach, then it will definitely find you a pattern that can predict outcome. But that doesn't mean it will work again. It just means that it's called overfitting. You just make sure that your data fits your outcome.
Right.
So what you need to do then is go back and find your new set of data and check that your original pattern still works.
So just briefly, after this experiment, after this research, how important would you say it is to still have human intervention in this process alongside with AI? Does that sort of turbocharge it?
So I think that the human intervention part's really important because what we're most likely to end up doing is telling clinicians this is our best guess of the outcome for this young person. Now you take that on board when you're discussing treatment options with that person, rather than the machine itself doing all of the work.
Stephen Wood, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem at all.
Professor Stephen Wood, Head of Clinical Translational Neuroscience at Origin, which is the National Centre of Excellence in Youth Mental Health. This research paper is out today.